Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Now you put it on Santos, who is a great kicker. Only missed two this year. But you need a smooth operation. We saw what happened in the Kansas City game, Denver game. Can't take anything for granted.
Here we go. 46 yards. Break for Caleb Williams.
Wow.
I got a chance to watch on my phone real quick because I just wanted to see what kind of the operation looked like, and I think they just made a play more than, you know, anything. I the ball looked like it was right on target, but that situation, I'm always going to look myself, you know, what I could do better, and you know, I think that I like the way I hit the ball here, but I'm, you know, maybe if I hit it a little higher, you know, that doesn't happen. But I think they just got enough penetration to make a play, and credit to them.
Plumbers 911 Football Monday starts now with Gabe Ramirez on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
And just like that, we're back another Sunday, another therapy session, a couch, some glasses, my pen, a notepad, and validation for your feelings surrounding the Chicago Bears. It is I, Gabe Ramirez, the Boricua, the Bori in the building, ready to hang out with you guys. I mean, the phone lines are open. I mean, let's just do it. What are we doing right here? Why am I always experiencing these kinds of moments? Why am I watching a field goal take place that I have to question whether or not this is going to determine how my Monday is going to be? I'm tired of it. I went on every channel I could go on, and everybody that was having me on as guest this week on their shows talking about the Bears, what's going to happen? I told everybody, Bears -5. People laughed at me. I had faith. I had faith that they were getting their tackles back, that the Bears defense would step up, that Caleb Williams would be better. I checked all those boxes. And then in certain situations, the worst part about it is this, guys. No, not the worst part, because there's too many parts that are bad. It just sucks that you watch a game, and it's so Chicago Bearsy to watch a game, have your offense do what they're supposed to do, and then the defense doesn't keep up their end of the bargain. Last couple of games, you've seen the defense hold teams below 20, below 22, and the Bears offense just hasn't been able to muster up some points. Today, because you can look at this game and be fooled at the defense into thinking, oh, the defense played well. They held Green Bay to 20 points. Bears should win when you hold teams to 20 points. You know how many possessions the Green Bay Packers had yesterday? Possessions. Six. Five of them ended in the red zone. Think about that. One punt. Five possessions in the end zone. Three of them end up in a touchdown. One, obviously, a turnover on downs. The other, the interception by the Chicago Bears. Only once, did you stop them from moving the ball at will. I tweeted it out. I said, third and 11 plus fourth and three equals not a top five defense. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Ready to take your phone calls. It's Gabe Ramirez. Got producer Tyler Farrengal hanging out till 5 in the morning. We'll be taking phone calls. Talking about this Bears team, there are positives. Thomas Brown, TB, as Caleb has called him. Phenomenal play calling relative to what we're used to seeing. Did we see two run plays when the Bears got on the 15-yard line? Yes, we saw it again. Just like Shane Waldron. Take a shot to the end zone, please. Somebody throw the ball up high for Roma Dunze or Keenan Allen or DJ Moore. Would I have loved an extra run play at the tail end of the game? Absolutely. I was watching the game and someone was like, what happened there? I was watching the game with my dad. What happened there? I said, I'll tell you exactly what happened. Green Bay calls a timeout. There's 35 seconds left. Coach Eberflus, again, smug, arrogant, thinking, I got this figured out. This is exactly what we're going to do. We're going to run the ball one time. And then we're going to run the play clock down and call a timeout. Problem is, when you run the one play, you're looking around like an idiot because you realize, oh, damn, wait, there is enough time. And I could have done one more play. But you know what? We're here already. Let's call a timeout. We're about to win this one. Painful. Painful to watch that. And just even the highs and lows throughout the game. It is mental torture watching the Chicago Bears play. Mental torture. You're watching this thing and you're like, what is going on? Bears put up points. Bears got the lead. Immediately after that, give up a touchdown. Bears put up some points, immediately give up a touchdown. Like, what the hell? I can't even be happy for 5 minutes watching the damn Bears game. It is mental torture. Then you're up this whole thing. Green Bay not touching the ball for damn near half an hour, their offense. Big long drive ending the first quarter. The first half. Then the second half starts. Bears long drives. Time of possession was crazy in this game. It's just extremely frustrating, man. I know you feel the same way. That's why so many people are calling you around. I'm so excited that I'm not the only one that is up this late drinking pop because I'm turnt and I'm angry. And I know you are too. I'm happy, but I'm angry. I love seeing Caleb Williams at the podium after the game. For those of you that didn't catch his post game, like before you go to bed today, if you're driving home, pull out your phone and spend 8 minutes watching Caleb Williams on the post game of the Bears game. It should make you feel good about what's going on there. Tyler, am I going to Joe from the very beginning? You want me to go to Joe? All right. We got a lot of people on the lines, man. So call in, get some good takes, and do yourself a favor. Don't start your conversation by saying, like I was telling your producer. Of course, the producer has to take your phone call before you come to me. I don't know what you're talking about. That's how he gets paid the big bucks over there. So come on out and just fire away because I'm upset. Bears lose to the Packers. 20-19. Now I got to talk to Joe from Green Bay. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Gabe. What's up, man? How you doing?
Good to talk to you again, brother. What's your thoughts on this one?
You too. All right. So, hey, well, my first thought is, you know, being a Bears fan up in Green Bay, I shouldn't say usually because it always happens because we lose to the Packers. Man, everyone comes out from the woodworks. They start blowing up my phone, blowing up my socials. Oh, the Bears still suck, whatever. This time, they were a lot more quiet. And I was listening to some of the Green Bay sports radio, and most people were actually more ticked off than they were happy because they were just all angry that, the Bears almost got away with one. And I'm just as upset as you are that the Bears lost in the most Bears way possible. But honestly, man, like, compared to the last couple weeks and seeing what Thomas Brown did with that offense, I've never written so high after a loss, especially one against the Packers. But if what Thomas Brown has in store is anything more for like what's to come, I feel a little more optimistic because I thought the offense, especially in that last drive, which of course Eberflus screwed up by not having an extra run. I mean that throw to Keenan Allen, that 4th-and-3 pass to Rome Odunze, which is probably a lot. I mean, that was a pretty gutsy call. I mean, I would have done like a short pass in that situation, but I've only played Madden, so I don't know. There's good things to take away from it, even though it really stinks. So I'm trying to focus on the positives, you know?
Yeah, I mean, listen, there are positives to take away from this game, right? I mean, as you mentioned, people in Green Bay understanding the Bears ultimately were seconds away from winning that game and winning their first one in 10 opportunities. And you are feeling good about Thomas Brown and how he handled the offense, right? More often than not, Caleb was coming to the line, and where me, I was frustrated in moments in games past where Caleb looked frazzled before the play because he was too busy calling an audible, getting everybody on the same page. Now the play clock's going down to 4. You're trying to get these offensive linemen that have not played together all year to be paying attention to what the snap count is. And then all of a sudden, you know, Caleb makes a mistake in those situations. You saw it once today. I felt like one time it happened where it was a very predictable down, very predictable play, and the Bears ended up messing up on it. But overall, Caleb looked decisive. Going up to the line, having the play, feeling confident in the play. My dad brought that point up today when I was watching him. He's like, look, Bears going up to the line and actually running the play. He's like, well, that just tells you Caleb didn't like the plays that that Shane Waldron was calling because he kept on audibling out of it. And I was like, that makes sense
exactly.
to me. But yeah, Flus not accepting responsibility at the podium for not running another play, that certainly rubbed me the wrong way. You know,
it's ridiculous.
It's bad. But you know what, Joe, I'm glad you still repping for us up there in Green Bay. Hopefully they'll eat crow soon enough. It's not this year. It's certainly next year. Bears going to pull out one of these victories against this team, and hopefully it can make us happy on a Monday. Joe, I appreciate the phone call. 312-644-6767. Phone lines got a couple more open, ready to talk to you. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670. The score, Bears lose to the Green Bay Packers 20-19. Dios mío. Just a heartbreaker. A heartbreaker because the whole game I'm like, I can't believe this is happening. I can't believe the Bears have the lead at halftime. Can't believe the Bears put up more points at the start of the second half. Can't believe the Bears are winning this. And then it's 5 minutes left. And I said it. I said, when the Bears stopped them, turnover on downs, and they get the ball on their own 2 or 3 yard line. And I said, all I need is a couple of first downs. Just give me a couple of first downs to flip the field. Then I'll be happy with this drive. Sure enough, Bears put a couple of plays together, flipped the field. Unfortunately, couldn't just, I can't wait till we get to that point. And I don't know if it's offensive line play that'll help that out, if it's continued maturity from Caleb Williams, but there will come a point where the Bears get that ball, drive down the field, score a touchdown, and keep the game out of reach. But like Joe said, there's some good things and there's some bad things to talk about here about this game. Let's go back out to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Herschel out in Lincoln Park. Herschel, good to talk to you, my guy.
What's up, my boy? What's going on? You doing all right?
You know, I'm trying to stay positive about this game, but are you like Joe, who I just talked to? You're upset, but you're not that upset.
100%. But also, I want to say David Hall is going to be mad at me that I'm calling you and not him in the morning, but I'm not going to be up. But our guy Vegas Hall. But anyway, I'm going to say this. We're fans, period, right? I am so excited about the potential with Caleb Williams and his progression. Yes, we lost the last 3 games, miserable. But the thing is, think about this. He showed that he's our quarterback. So the loss, yes, minimally, partially on the players, but mostly it was the loss is solely on Matt Eberflus. His timeout situations, his him not going for the next play. Could have gave him a little bit more room to make that field goal. You know, come on. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that you can go with one more play instead of letting the clock run down. You can't mentally do it, you know?
Yeah, I totally understand. And when you look at Caleb Williams, you know, his birthday is – oh, my goodness, his birthday's today.
Happy 23rd birthday, Caleb Williams.
Yeah, Caleb is 23 today. today, okay, right now. I know, right? In his MJ year. And I think about, you know, her. So I hear you speak. You seem like a very well-educated, you know, articulate man. And I look at Caleb Williams and I say to myself, damn, Caleb Williams at 26? Like, he's 23 right now. 26?
Right.
Like, 26 isn't even old. But Caleb Williams at 26, 3 years removed from right now, I just say to myself, he's going to be a goon. Like an absolute goon out there on the field because of how he's carrying himself in the present. I said it before I started the show. If you have not heard Caleb Williams at the podium today, we're going to play it later on, but you guys will probably be sleeping by then. But do yourself a favor before you go to sleep. Spend the 8 minutes and watch Caleb Williams at the podium. His poise, his leadership, what he says about everything. It's just the right thing to say, and it makes you feel confident about him. Herschel, I appreciate you, man. And you know what? You got me feeling, look at you. Look what you did, Herschel. You got me feeling positive. I tried to come in this mug hot, and you got me feeling positive about my team after a loss. So.
Let me say this last thing. If the Bears would have won this game today, I think a lot of people would have lost their mind and not went to work this morning.
Bruh, I was like, because usually when the Bears lose, phones are hotter, right? Like, I do a lot of overnights. When the Bears win, people, their ass is sleeping. They got their heads on their pillows. They're dreaming about beautiful victories. When they lose, the phones are hot. When the Bears were about to win this game, I was like, yo, even if the Bears win, the phones are going to be hot today because people are going to want to talk about the Bears beating the Packers. I was ready, boy. But then, oh, man, I couldn't believe it. Then, of course, my heart got stolen.
See you against the Red Stars, okay?
Yeah, I'll see you out there. All right, Herschel, have a good one, man. 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez out here taking phone calls, man. Therapist Gabe. Seems like the therapy sessions from the past are helping out whatever's going on in the present, because my first two phone calls are happy people. Tyler, I would like to talk to someone that's upset. Yeah? It's a lot of happy people going on over here, which I'm okay with. I'm okay with the positives for this Bears team because they exist. Well, let's take another one. Let's go to Greg out in Lake Forest. Greg, welcome to the show. Thoughts on this Bears game?
It's
okay. Take your time. Like I said, therapist Gabe, take your time. Sit on the couch. We have a lot to talk about.
It was a great thing that they finally sewed his legs back on. I mean, Caleb Williams has to use his legs. He has to be a triple threat. So I'm glad that they used his legs. I'm glad that he used his legs because that's what makes him special. I never will understand why that you will run the clock down and not go for the field goal on at least third down. So if it's blocked and you get the ball back, you got another chance at another field goal. I never understood that. Never understood that mentality. Caleb, yes, it's going to help the offense out if they continue to use his legs and not discourage him from using his athletic ability to make plays. It's all about making plays.
Greg, let me ask you this. Were you worried? Because I got to the point, listen, I'm okay, but listen, he holds the ball terribly. It's always out to the side. You know, he's like this wily, twitchy runner. And I'm always worried about a big hit and just a fumble. So I love him leaning on his legs when he's decisive and he does it quickly the way that he did. But take a listen to Caleb. They asked him in the post game about his running and did they emphasize that this week?
More decisive as a runner today than you had been, or do you?
Yeah, I think there was a few times where I saw the lane and just took it and took off. I think being more decisive as a runner, I think when I run, I think I'm pretty decisive, whether it's getting down, running, or whatever the case may be. So I just saw a few lanes, one to help the team and find ways to help the team, those are the ways today.
Yeah, see, so you heard it right there, Greg. You know, Caleb, he had 70 yards on the ground today, but I'm sure he's going to lean on it a little bit more himself.
Yeah, and the thing is, I kind of thought that the team kind of was down on him a little bit because, they seen Justin Fields use his leg to get first downs. I mean, put his body out there, put his career out there. And he slid one game a yard short of a first down. And you got to put your teammates on your, you know, you got to let them buy into you. So you have to use your legs. If they're putting their ass out there, he has to put his butt out there too. So, you know, it's the game. You got to win, and it's about wins and losses, and it's about what you do to get there. So I think he just, until he sees it all, I think that's a good thing for him to continue using his legs. And I think that's the difference between the coordinators at this point. I don't know if it's schemes. I don't know what the routes are, but he used his legs.
Yeah.
So that's just my opinion.
Yeah, Greg, I think it's a great point. It's a great assessment right there, and I'm glad that you pointed that out. I think when you're looking at the Bears and what Thomas Brown was able to run, a lot of zone runs, right? A lot of RPOs. You saw Caleb, obviously, you know, getting a couple first downs in situations like that. I love the fact that he wasn't afraid. I think, Greg, to your point, he wasn't afraid to use his legs in those situations where a couple of defenders, defensive ends, obviously it was like a naked bootleg that was going to happen on the play action that the defender came down and obviously got him. But there were other situations where they were doing head on from the shotgun, single back, you know, RPOs where Caleb said to himself, now I'm going to keep this ball. And it even shocked the defenders that were there. But I don't think people were necessarily down on Caleb because of that. I mean, he's a rookie, right? Let's not forget. This is his first taste of Green Bay. His first taste of the pressure that is bigger than life, right? There's been a lot of pressure games for Caleb Williams. Oh, we got to win this or else things are going downhill. This is pressure on a different level. You've lost three straight. You're going up against the division rival. You just fired your offensive coordinator. You're playing at home against a team that has beat you 10 straight times. And Caleb Williams went out there and handled business today. Absolutely handled business. 23 for 31, 231. Zero touchdowns. Zero interceptions. That's one interception in Caleb Williams' last seven games. Think about that. For a rookie quarterback, one interception in seven games. How many times did you hear Caleb Williams holds on to the ball too much, which he does, but it'll lead to too many fumbles? Caleb Williams fumbles the ball too much. When was the last time you seen Caleb Williams? Not that he won't, but you would expect the way people were talking about it before the season that the man was going to be out here fumbling every game. Does a great job protecting the football. Puts you in a position to win. How many times has he done that this year? Where wins were literally plucked from his hands by no fault of his own. Commanders comes down, leads two game-winning victories. One ends up in a fumble. Second one, tutty. Bears, he's off the field now. Bears give up the final score. Against the Green Bay Packers, the defense gives up a touchdown in fourth quarter with 4 minutes left. He then comes and brings the team down into field goal range to win the game. Again, he's off the field. The loss happens not by his hands. You got to feel good about Caleb Williams. 312-644-6767, but you still feel bad about the team because, damn it, you thought they were going to win, as did I. Let's go back out to the phone line. Let's go to Tim out in Indy. Tim, you took your son to the game.
Yeah, it's I've had season tickets for a few years. We moved down here from Lakeview about 10 years ago, and I normally take my son to the first Saturday preseason game because for years he just really wasn't that into it. And, you know, half a football, and then you go to Disney Perry, have a good time.
You don't want to waste your good tickets on it. I understand.
So he signed up with his boys. He signed up for a flag football league, and he fell in love with football. And he's like, you got to take me to a regular game. I was like, okay, we'll go to the Packers game.
Nice.
And he's like, all right. So we go to the game, and I'm like, hey, buddy, just so you know, like, things could go off the rails at any moment, and they probably will. Like, we haven't beaten them in years, and it's not looking good today.
Tim, how old's your son?
He just turned 13.
Oh, okay. He's an emotional. So, yeah, he's right an emotional the, ball right, right now. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, he's right in the pocket. And so, like, I watched the Bears get his hopes up the whole game, and he's like, "They're gonna win," you know, when they get the ball right in past the 30. And I'm like, "This is not a guarantee. In fact, it's more likely than not, we're not gonna win." And he's like, "What do you mean?" And then that kick happens, and it gets blocked. And he has tears in his eyes, and he's just like, oh. And, you know, I just sat there and just kind of consoled him for a few minutes. And I'm like, yeah, this is the way it is. And he's like, why do you want to do this?
Oh, no.
And then he's like, why do you want me to do this? Like, it'd just be easier if I was just like Colts fan, like my friends. Oh. Like, I see you're sad all the time. It's brutal to watch. And I'm like, At that point in time, I'm like, you know, I want him to share this with me. So I'm like, no, son, like, you know, go on it. It'll be okay. But at the same time, I felt like a horrible parent. Like I was abusing my child, like to suck him into this life for my own selfish reasons.
No. Well, I'll tell you the first mistake, Tim. You put the bad juju on the Bears, telling your son to hold tight when he was saying that the Bears won the game. So that's I'm surprised he's not crying at you being a bad dad for not rooting for your team properly. All right, Tim, that's the first thing I'm going to tell you. I'm upset at you. I'm crying because you put the bad juju saying the game's not over. Because I looked at my dad. I was watching the game with my dad today or yesterday. And I looked him in the face when the Bears got to the 30-yard line. And I said, Pops, we just won. That's what I said. I said, Pop, you just won. And he goes, what do you mean? I said, look at the ball. He's like, I didn't even know where the ball was. Oh, my God, I can't believe it. And little did I know, little Timmy in the Timmy at Soldier Field was putting a bad juju hex on this team. And just like his son, I ended up crying out there on the field. Now, it's torturous. It is. But
as
just like the calls that have been coming in, Tim, there are brighter days ahead. Just like Joe said from Green Bay that he was listening to local radio, they are scared up there. Because of what the Bears are looking like and who is playing quarterback for them and what this defense can be. Listen, let's not forget Bears fans that are listening out there. Tim, you included. All right, and this is what I want you to tell. What's your son's name? Little Timmy?
Jack.
Little Jack. I want you to let him know this. The Bears are coming. The Bears are coming. The big bad Bear is coming, and he's going to eat up a bunch of cheese. It might not be this year because you want to know why? The Bear isn't grown up yet. It's a little cub right now. And next year, when it has a couple offensive linemen, when it gets another DN to pair up alongside Montez Sweat, when Jaquan Brisker makes his way back and he doesn't give up that pass that Elijah Hicks did to Christian Watson, when those things change, then the Bears will be able to eat up all the little cheese that's laying around in the forest. And then they're going to go eat some Vikings. And then when you know what they're going to find at the top of that mountain next year? A lion! And that Bear's going to eat that lion up, but it ain't this year because it's still a little cub, and we got to cry and eat our crow and go back to our cave and hibernate for a little bit. All right, Tim? But you lift that chin up from your son. Tell little Jack it's going to be okay, all right?
I will. I just want us to have some, like, losses as we build that don't require the Curb Your Enthusiasm theme at the end of them, which is what, like, these are just tough losses. Like, I'd rather, you know.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. Tough losses, and you hope you're on the other side of them next year, right? Because that's what good teams do. They find a way to win those, and hopefully the Bears do that. Tim, thanks for the call, man. Look forward to talking to you again soon, all right?
All right.
312-644-6767 is Gabe Ramirez right here on 670 The Score on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday. Of course, as always, it is brought to you by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. A ton of stuff going on today. I'm fired up from the very beginning. I got you from 12 to 5 a.m. Dustin Rhodes comes on at 5 with the pregame show. Then Mully and Haw kick things off at 5:30. They got great guests. Olin Krutz at 7. DJ Moore at 8. Brad Biggs at 9. Going to be fantastic. Then Bernstein and Harris after them. Spiegel and Holmes wrap things up on the tail end. They have Kurt Warner at 3. Mark Grody at 4. Jalen Johnson at 5 o'clock. It's going to be absolutely great all day today. But I want to hear from you. There are some people, I got to be honest, this has been a, Tyler, hasn't this been a very kind first half hour? I mean, aside from Tim and his parental abuse with his child, little Jack. But outside of that, it's been kind of kind, right?
It's been a lot better than I was anticipating with the way that game ended.
I thought we were going to get fire flus. I thought we were going to get a lot of fire flus. We haven't had one fire flus yet.
That their future is screwed now since they can't win this game. They can't beat the Packers. It's never going to go right for them.
All right. Well, I want to take some calls. I see the people on hold right now. I'm going to get you right after this short commercial break, but I want to talk to you as well. 312-644-6767. What you got to say about this Bears game? Bears lose to the Packers 20-19. We'll talk about it next right here on 670 The Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Gabe Ramirez on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
With the game on the line, the Bears' field goal was blocked. Special teams breakdown or coaching oversight or just bad luck. 312-644-6767. To add injury to insult, or insult to injury, excuse me. Jim Harbaugh, you see what he does? 25 seconds left. The game's tied. Chargers have the ball on the 25-yard line. He calls a run play for J.K. Dobbins. Could have knelt. Could have taken a field goal. The play results in a touchdown. Then on the Hail Mary, he calls the timeout. It's like he's watching the Bears games and saying, well, I mean, let me learn from those guys what not to do. Oh, it's painful when you see stuff like that.
The announcers on the radio for Sunday Night Football, when the Bengals were going to do their Hail Mary, they twice pointed out, well, they better have watched that Bears game to know what not to do. And they're just a national talking point, aren't they?
A national punchline.
For not the good reasons.
Yeah. But you know what? There's been a lot of positivity on the phone lines this evening, I guess, or this morning, whatever you want to call it. It's 12:33 in the city of Chicago. We're talking Bears. People are lined up, hopefully fired up, ready to go. Let's go to Steven out in Detroit. Steven, appreciate you listening to the show. Thoughts on this Bears game after they fall to the Green Bay Packers?
Well, I think it's kind of a little bit of a reverse to what happened against Washington on that Washington game. Next to last play is the one that was when Eberflus kind of lost all the hope and lost all the support from the fans and the players because of the lack of accountability, because he said that play didn't matter when, in fact, that play gave them an extra, 12, 13 yards to get closer to the Hail Mary. And today, on that last play, with a 46 seconds to go with one timeout, he basically said, he was worried about the Packers stacking the line of scrimmage, which, by the way, I don't think no coach will be stupid enough to run into, in the middle of the defense, when Caleb could have just used an RPO and carried a ball by himself and gained an extra 5-6 yards on his own. And again, a problem with Matt Eberflus' lack of accountability and self-awareness really came back to bite this team. Matt Eberflus is the kind of person that doesn't coach to win, but he finds ways to lose and tries to spin a silver lining or some sort of a positivity, which kind of insults the fans as much as the players who have to deal with him on a regular basis at this point. And let's not get overconfident or overjoy about, Thomas Brown having a great game. I like what we saw, and I think people can all agree that this was a much better offense, competent, functional. And the irony in all of this is that if Thomas Brown can help develop Caleb Williams for the next seven remaining games, even with Eberflus coaching, I think there needs to be some serious scrutiny done against both Eberflus And general manager Ryan Pulse, who is on shakier ground by the way, every week now, why Shane Waldron was hired in the first place when, A, all the other candidates that they have interviewed, Zach Robinson, Liam Cohen, Cliff Kingsbury, has their offense in a much better position. And B, you know, the Bears kind of lucked into hiring Brown as a passing game coordinator, even though they also interviewed for him for the OC job. So there's no real credit given to both men. And I don't think that Brown's offensive performance should never be directly tied to Eberflus, you know, retaining his job, you know, at the end of the season.
Right.
Because you've already fired two offensive coordinators, you know, I don't want to say third time's a charm, because you've already exposed your flaws and incompetency.
Yeah.
As you know, in the whole, you know, process of interviewing and hiring, deserves to be more scrutiny, because it's probably one of those Trace Armstrong cronyism special. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Steven. I appreciate it. 312-644-6767. The loss of the Packers stings. And, you know, Eberflus's decision-making at the end is hard to ignore. There's time on the clock. The opportunity to run one more play to get closer for the field goal exists. Yet you settle for the 46-yarder. It just felt too conservative. It felt too conservative in a game that was doused with bold moves. Bears going for it and fourth down in certain situations. The Packers going for it on the goal line with zero fear of the Bears offense. Again, six possessions. That's it. That is it. Do you understand that? If I told you the Packers had six possessions, you would tell me the Bears won. Three of them ending in a touchdown. One interception, one turnover on downs. The interception was in the red zone, and the turnover on downs is in the red zone. That's five possessions. And then one punt. The Packers had one punt today. So in tight moments like these, every yard matters. You know what great coaches do? They trust their players. They take accountability when things go wrong. When you play it safe and when you don't address it afterwards the way that Eberflus didn't, it just leaves fans, it leaves players, it leaves everyone wondering if he really believed they could close that out. Did he think they could do it? Or was he just trying to hold on to some semblance of it? Because it's not just about the block kick. It's about setting a winning tone. And for me, it just didn't feel like that. Here's Eberflus on the late game antics right here. Here's Eberflus talking about the late game right now. Field goal moment.
Time to run another run play if you wanted to set up the field goal. What was the conversation?
Yeah, you know, they were loading the box there, you know, so you could say you could do that for sure. Maybe get a couple more yards, but you also risk, you know, fumbling and different things there. We felt where we were. You know, if we're at the 36 or 35, you know, you're definitely doing that because you want to get it inside there. I felt very confident where we were at that time with the wind and where we were on the field.
Too safe. It lacks believability. Hey, they crowded the box. So what? Call a sweep. You never know. You could have fumbled right there. Then don't. Trust your guys to not do that. Shove it down their throats. Again, it's not about the block kick. It's setting the winning tone. We are better than you. We will run this down your... Oh, my gosh. All right, I can see Caleb in the huddle right now. All right, boys, you know what we got to do. We got one more play. Let's get a little bit closer. Let's knock this thing out. DeAndre Swift. Bing, bing, bing. DeAndre Swift already had a 50-yarder. Which was so nasty, by the way. That was the loudest moment for me. I'm sure we all have our loud moments during the game, whether it was yelling in anger and frustration or happiness. My loudest moment was when DeAndre Swift, after the block from Braxton Jones, the juke move that DeAndre Swift made to that guy, oh my God, open field just crushed his soul, and then it led to the touchdown. That's the moment that I screamed the loudest. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe it. Let's go. So close to having a happy Monday. 312-644-6767.
It's a Plumbers 911 Football Monday here on 670 The Score. Brought to you by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. I am Gabe Ramirez, hanging out with you. But you know what the good thing is? I'm not alone today. Tyler Farengall holding down producing duties. And the phone lines, you guys make me happy, man. This lets me know that we're in this together. Bears fans that are just, we're like Tim's son, little Jack. We're out here crying because the Bears. Why are we doing this? Because we see light at the end of the tunnel. Let's go to Frank out in the loop. Frank, what's going on, man? Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Gabe. Good to talk to you again.
Likewise.
It's been a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I know.
You know, I'm listening, and I'm thinking to myself, who's calling your show? Is it George McCaskey's relatives? I mean, everyone's so positive,
yes!
Honestly.
Talk about
it's like
it,
everyone's
Frank.
Everyone's got a Stockholm syndrome, you know? It's almost like the Bears have made the playoffs in the last, have won a playoff game in the last 12 years. So I forgot. Oh, wait, that never happened. So here's the thing, Gabe, is that I'm glad you brought up Jim Harbaugh because that's a real coach, an alpha male coach, a guy that gets the most out of his players, a guy that isn't doing press conferences after the game saying, well, you know, we don't want to get a fumble or we don't want to, you know, let the defense dictate what we do and kick a 46-yard field goal to lose the game, again, to the Packers. Just to remind everyone, they lost today, and they haven't beaten Green Bay since 2018. It's been 11 losses in a row. So when I look at it, I just see, as I've mentioned to you before, and as you agree with, it's a completely unserious operation. And it's just plain and simple. Like, there doesn't have to be 1 minute spent talking about, you know, is Matt Pryor going to be the right guard next week or the right tackle? I mean, who cares, honestly? It's like the team is owned by George McCaskey. He's a loser. I'm sorry to say. He's not a good owner. He's a bad owner. And he's not serious about winning. He says that he wants to win and the losses add up and it eats him alive. It's BS. It's not true. Because if he actually did, he would have fixed it a long time ago. He would have hired someone like Jim Harbaugh who would have came in and fixed the culture right away, day one. You think the Chargers are that much more talented than the Bears? I would argue that the Bears have more talent. But because the Bears' culture has been a mess for 20-plus years, I mean, I would argue, obviously, since Lovey, at least they were functional with Lovey, and it was a huge mistake to get rid of him when they did. But, like, their culture has been a mess forever. And it's because they are so comfortable in their mediocrity. And it's just so evidenced by the fact that they have Trace Armstrong as the shadow president. You know, you've got Shane Waldron who's a Trace client. You've got Luke Getsy who's a Trace client. Obviously, you have Eberflus and Poles who are Trace clients. If people think that doesn't play a factor in the Bears' decision-making year after year, you're fooling yourself. Because if you had a real owner in there, Gabe, if you had someone like Jeffrey Lurie or Steve Bisciotti or Robert Kraft, you know, if you had someone that was serious about winning, I'm looking at the bottom line, I'm looking at the wins and losses, who can I get that's the best out there? Even the Spanos family, who's not, you know, whose reputation hasn't been good ownership and with the LA Chargers, you know, they were seen as cheap, you know, not paying for coaching, not paying for good medical personnel for years. And you know what? They heard those rumors this past offseason. They didn't like it. So they went big game hunting, and they paid $15 million a year for Jim Harbaugh. And look at what's happening. They're taking an average roster, and what? They're probably top three seed in the AFC, you know, come Monday. I'm obviously, the final rankings aren't coming out for another day after Monday Night Football, but they're going to be in the playoffs. Jim Harbaugh's changed that culture. They're 7-3. So, you know, I think about it like this. It's very simple. It's ownership, right? And who's the owner hiring to make decisions? The Chargers made the decision, we're going to build around Jim Harbaugh. We're going to let him decide who he wants as a general manager. And it's not a power struggle. You know, people wanted to talk about in San Francisco how he had a bad reputation with Trent Baalke, the GM. Guess what? Trent Baalke had one winning season. One span of winning his entire executive career. It was with Jim Harbaugh and the Niners.
Right.
He's 34-60 with the Jags. Okay, he's going to get fired in 3 weeks. So, like, it's very simple. It's very simple. You have, I'm sorry to yell. I don't mean to take it out on you because you've been great. You give me the airtime. I'm just telling you, though, for anyone listening, it's simple. Like, if you want to keep supporting, I get it. you know, I can't get rid of it, obviously. Like, I'll always want them to win. But I know at this point I don't have anything to expect because they're an unserious franchise. Like, let me give you this. Like, when Dan Quinn, right, was brought in for head coaching interviews before they hired Eberflus, the finalists were Eberflus, Dan Quinn, and Jim Caldwell. And when Dan Quinn came in and interviewed, you know what they did? They got him a coach plane ticket, and they flew him in on coach. They didn't even give him a first class, let alone a private plane.
Right.
That's the McCaskey way. It's a second-class organization. I get it. He could be the nicest guy in the world, but if the business is about wins and losses, he's horrible. And it's not going to get any better because this is what's going to happen. They're going to win max 6 games. I mean, that's generous. I'm going to say maybe the Vikings and maybe the Seahawks, but max 6. Eberflus will be gone because they won't be able to spin it any other way. Poles will be safe. Poles will get up at the press conference and talk about how we have to build off our successes and we have to improve on this. And guess what? They're going to hire some 38-year-old underqualified offensive coordinator, and it's not going to be Ben Johnson because McCaskey's not paying $15 million a year to Ben Johnson. And it's certainly not going to be Mike Vrabel because, again, like Jim Harbaugh, they're allergic to alpha winning strong personalities like True. Their last coach that ever won, like Mike Ditka. So, and you know, you just look at the track record. Jerry Angelo wanted to hire Nick Saban. They didn't want to give him the money. Then you know, Lovie gets fired. Who's available that offseason, Gabe? Andy Reid's available. Bruce Arians is available. They hire Mark Trestman. Then who's available when Matt Nagy gets hired? Mike Vrabel was available. Sean McVay was available the same year that John Fox got hired, but you certainly didn't hear anything about that because the Bears had to hire Ernie Accorsi to hire his buddy John Fox. It's all political, and that's the thing. That's what I really want fans to get. This whole the NFL, unfortunately, it's power hungry people who make political decisions. You know, everyone's making money. Everyone's getting the $300 to $400 million checks every September come the league year. But the reality is it, Gabe, is that you have haves and have-nots. You have the serious organizations that want to win, and there's really like five of them in the league. And then there's everyone else, and the Bears are everyone else because they're unstable. They're cool with losing, and that's just the reality.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I don't know if I don't want to hog your show.
But, no, there's the thing, Frank. Here's the thing. I'll give you a bit of tip. Okay, I do really like what you say because you're very knowledgeable and you bring up great points. And I've written down a couple of them that I'm going to address. Next time you call, we're going to have a conversation, though. You know what I mean? I want to talk to you.
Sounds good.
Right? I don't want you to just be talking and then not breathing. I want to have a conversation with you because then that way we could talk about the Bears together. But I appreciate you calling the show. And giving us that insight, you talk about the positivity that we have as Bears fans. People are too positive, you know. But the fact of the matter is, who can fix this mess? Because you bring up a great point. We are allergic to the alpha males that want to come in and really be disruptors in this market because the Bears do want things to be kind and comfy. And Ryan Poles is no different, right? He does. I'm not sure he wants to be challenged because he wants to be the top dog in those situations, right? And he understands that Kevin Warren isn't really going to be ruffling his feathers about those kinds of things. But the game itself, I mean, listen, at the end, because we've gotten used to this a bit as Bears fans, I wasn't angry. I was genuinely sad. Like when the field goal was blocked, I wasn't like, what the hell? Oh my God, I can't believe this. I was just like, damn. Because to be honest, over the last couple of years, especially doing these overnight shows after Bears games, and Tyler, we've gone through some bad games over the years, some three-win seasons. And, yes, I'm already desensitized to the whole thing, but I was sad when they lost today. And then you talk about, you know, not giving Dan Quinn a first-class flight. That's great. Great point, Frank. But that's what happens when you don't have billions on deck, liquid billions. Let's be very clear.
Well, Gabe, on the heartbreaking thing, how many times last year did we have to go and do these shows after the blown leads that they had?
Right.
The Detroit game.
Defense games. Yeah. Well, that's just it, guys.
The Cleveland game.
That's just it. Like, it's such a Bears thing to lose this way. That's what I'm saying. Finally, the offense comes through. They're moving the ball. They're handling business. And then the defense doesn't hold up their end of the bargain. Again, don't look at the 20 points. Look at the fact that the Packers had six possessions and five of them ended in the red zone.
Yeah, that's I didn't realize it was that almost efficient for Green Bay.
Three tutties, the interception on a bad pass from Jordan Love, and the turnover on downs because the Bears got lucky with a penalty that pushed them a little bit back on that third and one, or whatever that was, to push them back. So, again, it's just the things just can't line up. The stars can't align for the Bears. Something's always got to go wrong for them. But again, I wasn't angry today. I was sad. But a lot of people are positive. What are you?
Very sad.
312-644-6767. Let's go to Phil. Phil, good to talk to you again. Phil, I'm my prospect. Welcome to the show.
Well, Gabe, I'm not sad. I'm just damn angry, man. The thought process on that last drive, you're getting the ball back, 3 minutes to go, and clearly Eberflus is playing for a field goal. I'm playing to get the ball downfield, get it in the end zone, score a touchdown. Then there's no block kick. There's no missed field goal. You take it out of the kicker's hands by scoring a touchdown. And with the amount of time that they were wasting and running off the clock, that's all they were trying to do was run out the clock. They had probably could have gotten six more offensive plays off if they would have gone with a no-huddle offense and got to the line of scrimmage quicker, complete more passes, and score a touchdown. It's that simple. Harbaugh scored a touchdown on the last drive the Chargers had tonight. They didn't have to rely on a field goal kicker to win it for them. That's how you play the game. Harbaugh does it right, and Eberflus screwed it up. It's that simple.
Yeah,
that's how I see it.
You're absolutely right, Phil. Thanks for the call. And, you know, there are two types of coaches, and we've seen it over the years. Those that are aggressive and want to win the games, not even that. We've seen too many games where when you get too conservative, when you're running the ball instead of doing what got you there, you know, with 6 minutes left, not that the Bears did that today, but when you're running the ball with 6 minutes left, you know what happens in those situations. You're playing not to lose instead of playing to win. And in that situation, that's what Coach Eberflus was doing. He was coaching not to lose. He said it in his post game. They were stacking the box. Didn't want, right? They were stacking the box. I'm worried about them stacking the box. You never know what could happen. I'm worried about them doing that. That's coaching not to lose. I don't want to fumble the ball. I don't want to run into their wall. You never know. You never know. You know what winners do? They run that play that Thomas Brown ran with four tight ends or whatever. three tight ends. A three tight end set. Gerald Everett in the backfield. Big ass lineup. Your biggest bodies out there. My best versus your best. And you know what a coach says that has a winner's mentality? My best is going to beat your best. And that's not what Coach Eberflus did. 312-644-6767. I want to hear what you have to say about this game. There are positives, but there certainly are negatives as well. Again, ready to take your phone calls. Gabe Ramirez will do that next right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.